Dear friends in Christ, the events in Boston are troubling and unsettling. The weather's pretty dreary, so it might just fit this sermon well. Don't be afraid, little flock, but then don't kid yourself either. The wolves are beginning to circle. The Supreme Court will soon be ruling on the question of marriage, and our society appears to have already handed down its verdict. Marriage has been on the ropes for quite some time, and there's plenty of blame to go around. Our culture is pretty rotten. But then as churches, we don't have a lot to be proud of, and we who are Christians aren't setting much of an example. When's the last time you would have heard a sermon on divorce or a homily on the perils of living together? We could say we're doing the best that we can, but that's probably not true. If there's a pressing problem, we're just as likely not to talk about it, except perhaps as an item on a laundry list. We don't want to step on any toes, including our own. Now, if you tell me I'm preaching to the choir, you're probably right. Even more than preaching, we better start teaching, because our young people are confused and falling, and our choirs are starting to sing out of tune. We're no longer talking about the breakup of marriages, but of marriage itself. It's a societal game of Jenga, a card tower about to fall. You may think you'll weather the storm. In the shelter of a sanctuary like this, you'll keep preaching the gospel. But it won't be like that. Bumper stickers urge us to coexist, but that means be quiet. Our world's not neutral. It's becoming not only post-Christian, but anti-Christian. Secularism is not simply libertarian or socially laissez-faire. Haters be hating. And you are the haters. And while gay marriage might not have been on our minds, it better be now. For it can no longer be dismissed as a moral problem. And indeed, I think our culture understands this better than we do. There's a reason that this particular agenda is being pressed forward. And we are quick to add, many of the victims are troubled and confused, who struggle with the sin of homosexuality. They need our help and our forgiveness and our understanding. We are all fallen creatures, all in the need of Christ's forgiveness and strength. But even to say that we love and forgive, if we do that, we'll be in trouble. Society does not want your forgiveness or your tolerance. Nothing short of celebration will do. St. Paul understood homosexuality to be an idolatry of the body. Gay marriage takes this a step further and is an assault upon God himself, an indictment upon God as creator. It is therefore also an assault on him who is the firstborn of all creation, its ever-living head. Can we speak with pride about what our Lord has given us to speak? And does it matter? Or is it just one sin on a laundry list? We better think about this more deeply. If we can no longer speak to the true nature of marriage, we can no longer speak about the goodness of our God and the wonder of his creation and the glory of being made in his image. If we cannot speak about marriage, we deny the dignity of our humanity. If we deny male and female, we deny the family, the human community that mirrors the community of God himself. And this is not, as we might be tempted to say, a first article problem. Our creed is not so easily divided. If we cannot speak to this issue, we will never know what it meant for Matthew to write the book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ, nor will we understand all that talk about Paul's new creation. For the Lord has not only created us male and female, he has redeemed us in our humanity, male and female, We are his new creation. He is our kinsman redeemer. Who knows? Maybe a crisis like this could improve our preaching, or at least focus it, give it some flesh and blood. And we'll come to see more clearly that we can't preach life eternal without preaching life. And we can't talk about Christ without speaking of the human condition. Abortion severed the umbilical cord connecting a mother to her unborn child. Now same-sex marriage dissolves the ties that bind parents to their offspring. Gay marriage marginalizes fathers, even as it takes aim at the fatherhood of God. A child thrives with the love of a mother and the leadership of a father. This is basic stuff, and it's being denied. And so it is with our humanity and with our dignity. No, I don't claim to be a seer, but the forecast looks about as dark as the clouds outside. On the internet, on Facebook, a young person stands up for traditional marriage in a kind and gentle way. And what does he get? Not an argument, but vitriol, dark hatred. And if you haven't noticed, it might be because you haven't said anything. And so we enter a time of sifting. Those who hold to traditional marriage won't be thought of as lovable curmudgeons or spiritually Amish, but as haters. Would you be a friend with a member of the KKK? Would you hire a bigot? Are you ready to have that label hung around your neck? Are you ready to speak the truth and face the consequences if it meant death? Maybe not yet. How about loss of health care, loss of a paycheck, loss of a chance for promotion? But of course, we must speak, and we will, with pride and with courage, as fallen and redeemed to fallen and redeemed. For the Lord is our shepherd. He is groomed to the church and a suitor to the world. He is the one in whose shadows we delight to sit and whose fruit is sweet to taste. He is the one who brings us to the banquet, and his banner over us is love. He is creation's new Adam, who would take the church as his Eve. He is the groom, and he is calling us to the wedding feast. And if he loves us so, he will defend us and protect us and bring us safely through, even if through death and deprivation, to the other side. So, don't be afraid, little flock. And don't take no care for what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. For is not your body worth more than food and clothing? Take they, my life, goods, fame, child and wife, let these all be gone. For when my short life is ended, by his angel host attended, he shall fold me to his breast, there within his arms to rest. Amen.